Welcome to CEMC. Last week we began our new series. If you were in our vision meeting last Sunday after the service, I mentioned that we're going to have 12 different series this year. The first series was the vision series, and so we spent a whole month just focusing on Christ and His commands for us and His church. Now, last week we began our new series, which is thankfulness. I was thinking about, should we do a series on thankfulness around Thanksgiving? Just have like 4 or 5 weeks of Thanksgiving, thankfulness instruction from the scriptures. But I thought it would be good to start the year out with thankfulness. So that's why I put it early in the schedule. And so this month of February, we are in a series called Thankfulness. And so last week we looked at Luke chapter 2. And we looked at the reason for thankfulness, which according to the scriptures is the advent or the arrival of Christ Jesus and His plans that He has for us. And we saw the prophets, Simeon and Anna last week and their response to Jesus and how we should reflect that same response with an attitude of thankfulness. So we really started the series with being rooted in thankfulness in God. And so that was last week. This week, we are going to look at another scripture, another story in the Bible found in the Old Testament that will remind us of thankfulness. So before, I was thinking that since we are in a whole series and actually a whole month of thankfulness, I was thinking that I would share a few scriptures to begin our sermon this morning. So the first scripture, some are in the Old Testament, some are in the New Testament, but there's some scriptures that kind of get us on board with thankfulness. The first one is found in Daniel chapter 2, verses 23. Daniel, as you know, was a prophet, and he was in some difficult situations. And at one point, God actually revealed the dream of the king to him. And so Daniel, we actually have written down his prayer to God. And this is Daniel's prayer and how he responds to God, giving him wisdom and the answer to this dream. Daniel 2:23, and he says, "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." So thankfulness is found in the Old Testament. I'm just going to read a few just to kind of get us on board with thankfulness. 1 Chronicles 16:34, this is a Davidic praise from David. And he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." This was a prophet, the King David, giving thanks to the Lord. Another writing and a prayer by David is found in Psalm 9:1. And David says this, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." So this is David. This is Old Testament. It's mentioned, thankfulness is mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. It's also mentioned in the New Testament, as you might imagine. One example is from Jesus himself in John 6:11. Jesus, and this is a famous story where he took the loaves of fish and the bread and he multiplied it and distributed it amongst the crowds. But before he did that, this is what happened. John 6:11, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. So Jesus sets the example of why we should pray for our food. This is one of the examples that I use to explain to people why we as Christians thank God for our food. Paul was a very grateful and thankful servant of Christ. And there's so many instances in the New Testament of Paul and his attitude of thankfulness and even how he was teaching the church to be thankful as well. In one of his letters in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, this is what Paul writes to the church. It says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thankfulness." This is an instruction to the church that was written by Paul. The church should be abounding in thankfulness. Another letter to the church in Philippi, Philippians verses 4 through 6, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. Paul said this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Paul instructs us to make our requests known to God with thanksgiving. Another one, and again, there's many, many, and there's different variations of the word thankfulness, but in 1 Thessalonians, again to the church in Thessalonica, Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So these are the scriptures. This is the basis. This is thankfulness in the Bible. And we're going to take a look at that this morning. So the word thanks is, I actually Googled this, is in almost every language in the world. There seems to be this one language. It's called Chapala. I have no idea how to say it. It's in South America. And they don't have a word for thanks, but they do have some sort of like cultural gestures or some phrases and greetings that kind of say thanks, but they just don't have the word thanks in there in that language. I don't know why. But every language in the world has thanks in it. And this morning we must ask ourselves what our beliefs are concerning thankfulness. What is your belief concerning, and what are your concepts, what are your thoughts concerning thankfulness? Should we, as those following in the footsteps of Christ and the commands of Christ, be a people of thankfulness? Should thankfulness be included in the list of our Christian virtues? We are a people of faith. We are a people of peace. We are a people of love. But do we often enough devote ourselves to a life of thankfulness? If we try to persevere in the faith but lack thankfulness to our Heavenly Father, would our faith be found lacking? If we try to exude Christian love to our neighbors and to the world, but we have no thankfulness for the one who first loved us, would our love be accurately modeling the true love of God? If we give sacrificially but lack thankfulness, would our sacrifices be pleasing to God? I would argue that thankfulness is just as important to God as forgiveness of one another. That thankfulness is just as powerful as joy. That thankfulness is just as essential as love. But yet, when was the last time that you heard a sermon on thankfulness? When was the last time someone thanked you? When was the last time that you thanked someone? Or when was the last time that you thanked God? The 19th century British pastor, John, if you can go to the next slide, John Henry Jowett once said this. He actually was part of a church here in New York City at one point, but he wrote this, and it makes sense to me. And he says, every virtue divorced from thankfulness is maimed and limps along the spiritual road. So think about that. These are the teachings and the thoughts that we as Christians should have about thankfulness. So this morning we're going to take a look at one of the earliest accounts, one of the earliest recordings of thankfulness given in the Bible. And as we hear this story, I want us to ask ourselves these two questions. If you could go to the next slide. The first one is, what is true thankfulness? What is true thankfulness? And the second question that we're going to ask today is, how can we have a life of thankfulness? So what is true thankfulness, and how can we have a life of thankfulness? So we're going to read the scripture, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into a few teachings from the scriptures. Our scripture this morning is found in Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 21. It's up here on the board. It's in your bulletins. My apologies for being a little bit small, but I needed to put it all on one slide. Let me read it. Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 21. This is our scripture for this morning. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the water that had covered the earth was dried up. Then Noah removed the ark's cover and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out all the living creatures that are with you, the birds, livestock, those that crawl on the ground, and they will spread over the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah, along with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, came out. All wildlife, all livestock, every bird, and every creature that crawls in the earth came out of the ark by their groups. In verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Even though man's inclination is evil from his youth, and I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. Let's pray. Father God, we hope, Father, through your Holy Spirit, through your scriptures, through your reminders, through the testimony of our brother Noah, Father, to be taught and to be reminded of a thankful heart, Father, to see how thankfulness, Father, is important to you and should be important to us as well, Father. I pray, speak through me, Father, as I share with my brothers and sisters this morning. Speak into my own life as well, Father. We pray for a grateful and a thankful heart. May you multiply this time and open our eyes and our ears to your teachings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So let me give you a little bit of background. Most people know that this is a story of Noah. It's the story of Noah, the great flood, God's salvation to those on board the ark. As kids, most of us, or many of us, maybe not all of us, we grew up learning about this story. So there's a lot of different aspects to this story. Perhaps you, as a kid, like cut out, you know, little animals and, you know, put it in a boat or, yeah, I mean, we all know this story, right? Although, I don't know how many of us learned the story about the sacrifice in the animals. Like, I don't know if our Sunday school teachers teach your kids that part, which is actually the part we're going to look at this morning. But this is a very popular story. My mom used to wake me up every morning with the song, Rise and Shine and Give God. I hate that song because it would wake me up. And I was like, no, Mommy, I don't want it. So. But I try to sing that song. I do sing that song to my own daughter. And the second verse actually talks about Noah. And so it's fun. Like, this story is fun. I mean, who wouldn't love, like, to learn about the animals and boats and the rainbow and the different colors? I mean, this is an amazing story. But aside from learning about all of these animals and a rainbow, the story of Noah is a model for all who seek to live a life of thankfulness. It's a model for all who seek to live a life of thankfulness. The story of Noah is a biblical example of true thankfulness. So the first question that we really want to look at as we examine these scriptures is this. What is true thankfulness? What is true thankfulness? What can we learn about true and authentic thankfulness from this biblical account? So I'm going to give us in the next few minutes just four observations that I made and I believe will give us a better picture of true and authentic thankfulness. There are many other teachings and illustrations we can learn from this scripture, but I'm just going to focus on four this morning. So what are some observations that we can make from this scripture to teach us about Thanksgiving? The first one is this, that true thankfulness is an attitude of the heart and not words. True thankfulness is an attitude of the heart and not just words. Note that in the story, the words thankfulness or thanks or any variation of that word are nowhere to be found in these verses here in Genesis chapter 8. They're nowhere to be found. The word thanks is not mentioned here in the scripture. Noah never says, thank you, God, as far as we can tell. But yet we know from Noah's actions that Noah was indeed very thankful to God for his salvation. And how do we know that? We know that because Noah was thankful not from his words, but rather from his attitude. Genesis 8:20 tells us that the very first thing that Noah did when he got off of the ark was to build an altar and make a burnt offering to God. The actions of Noah speak of a man that is grateful to God. Noah could have stepped off the boat and he could have cursed the rain. Like, man, like 365 or 7 or how many days it was, which is a big debate. Like, how many days was there actually? He could have got and said, man, you know, curse the rain, or he could have cried in self-pity, like everybody's gone, this is us. He could have done any number of things, but from the biblical account, we are told that the very first thing that Noah did was make an offering to God. To me, and I think that we all can agree, that Noah demonstrated to God that he was indeed very, 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 very thankful. He was so thankful to God that he made a huge sacrifice to God. Thankfulness to God was demonstrated through the attitude and gratitude of his heart, not just his words. And I bring this up because so often we replace true thankfulness with pithy, empty words, the way that I want to say it. We replace true thankfulness with these pithy, empty words. How many times have you told other people or even God that you're thankful, but your words did not represent the attitude of your heart? Perhaps you begrudgingly offered your thanks, or you even mindlessly offered your thanks. It's customary. We just have to say thanks. We just do it robotically. How many times have you thanked God for your food out of routine rather than a deep appreciation from your heart? Just think about that. How many times have you said a prayer of thanks to God only because you felt obligated or pressured to, rather than from a truly grateful heart? True thankfulness comes from the heart, not just from empty words. And I wanted to add here that I believe that you should say the words thanks to God and others. We just read all of these scriptures, and there's so many others that really illustrate that point, that God does like it, or He is pleased when we say thanks to God. But it should flow from your heart with a grateful attitude attached. So that's the first observation we can make, that a true thankfulness, just looking at the life of Noah, is an attitude at the heart, not just with words. The second observation that we can make from Noah's example of thankfulness and his huge sacrifice is this. Thankfulness is giving something for something. Now, you may have never thought about this, and this may be something that you've never thought about, but thankfulness is giving something for something. It's like a reciprocal offering. So note that in this story, Noah is giving God something, in this case an offering, because God gave Noah something, which was salvation for he and his family. So Noah's giving God something because God gave Noah something. It's reciprocal. And thanksgiving, at least in this example, is a reciprocal offering. Noah is giving God something in return for God giving Noah something. Now, just a note on this, is reciprocal doesn't mean equal. Like, not in every case. In this story, Noah, he offered God perhaps hundreds, like I've read a lot of articles, like how many animals that Noah sacrificed. We're not exactly told, but it could have been hundreds or thousands even of animals that he sacrificed to God. And to sacrifice this many animals would have taken many days to accomplish. Noah would have had to build an altar. Like, where did he get the trees? Did he burn in Noah, the ark? Like, all these questions kind of come up. Like, he built an altar. He built and maintained a fire. He prepared the sacrifices, etc. This would have been a very lengthy and costly offering that he made to God. And with the whole earth flooded, by the way, like, these animals that Noah was sacrificing were extremely valuable. You know, there wouldn't have been much food. I'm only speculating here, but I can imagine there wouldn't have been much food for Noah to choose from. And from what was left, the animals on the boat, it seems that Noah gave many of them as an offering to God to give thanks to God. So this was a costly and generous sacrifice. It costed Noah a lot. But Noah's sacrifice was nothing in comparison to God's sacrifice for him. God had literally saved the lives of Noah and his entire family. He had warned him and instructed him in making this huge ark. God physically shut the door of the ark right before the flood to keep it from flooding. God had done so much for Noah and his family. And now, in show of thankfulness, Noah offered what he could in return. But Noah's offering was not equal to God's salvation. So thankfulness from Noah was not equally reciprocal to God's gift to Noah, but it was reciprocal. And so what can we learn from this? That thankfulness, in essence, is giving something for something. A gift from you should move me to give you something in return. It may not be equal, but it should at least cost me something, right? And this is, I think, a valuable lesson that we can learn from. How many times have you received a gift and given nothing in return? Not even a thanks. I mean, that's giving something, like a thanks, or not even a thankful heart. I had a colleague of mine, this is years ago, and I remember one time I went out of the way, and it's giving you a personal example. I went out of the way to give this colleague of mine, this is years ago, I ordered a large thing for them. I put a large charge on my credit card. It's a very heavy box delivered to my home. I carried this thing very far on multiple forms of transportation. I put a lot of work into it, put a lot of money into it, put a lot of effort into it, into this goodwill mission to give this to this friend, this acquaintance. In return, I desired at least a thank you, right? Or some sort of sign that all of my effort was appreciated. I think that most people would think the same way as me, right? Most people, maybe not everybody, but deep down, even if you say you want nothing in return, like we really do desire at least a thank you, right? And in this particular case, I got nothing, right? And I like hand-delivered this thing. It was super heavy, hurt my back, not even one word. And it was a bit hurtful. You know, no, nothing reciprocal there. You know, I did all of this, and although we say that we're not expecting something, really we kind of desire at least some sort of token, like, you did this for me, thank you, you know. I walked away perhaps thinking resentful thoughts, like, well, this person is ungrateful. Maybe I started to judge this person. I don't remember exactly what I thought, but it was something along the lines of, well, I'll never do that for that person again. You know, I'm just being honest. And of course, you know, as I reflect on that, I changed my attitude. But it was, we desire some sort of, something reciprocal, right? When you get in thankfulness. And I share this experience because one, I believe that most people would have thought and done the same thing that I did. Like, I'm just being honest. I think most of us desire a thank you or some sort of token. And two, if you're on the receiving end of a gift or an act of kindness, it would be wise and even biblical to at least acknowledge the other person's act of kindness. And I shouldn't even have to be teaching this, you know, but I feel like as Christians, sometimes we forget this. Thankfulness can be reciprocal. Thankfulness can be even greatly satisfying for both parties. Oh, you thank me, I thank you. It creates a bond. And that's what we see here in Genesis chapter 8. Noah was so thankful to God that he wanted to give God something in return. And thankfulness really is giving something for something, whether it's a word or an offering. Thankfulness can go both ways. And I just want to make, if I have forgotten to apologize to anybody here, sometimes people give me stuff and I'm like running in a way. It's not because I'm not grateful and I wanted to offer an apology. I can't think of anything in particular, but I truly try to be a person that thanks people, but also that thanks God. And I think that we as followers of Christ should be the same. So thankfulness, second thing that we can learn about thankfulness is it's giving something for something. It's reciprocal, and thankfulness can go both ways. The third thing about thankfulness we can learn this morning is this. True thankfulness is prioritized, should be prioritized in your life. True thankfulness should be prioritized in your life. So one of the most outstanding details about this account is how Noah prioritizes his thank offering to God. I briefly mentioned a few minutes ago that some details, but I think I was thinking about what was going through Noah's mind in this story, in this account. What was going through his mind? The whole world had just flooded. He's been on an ark, which must have smelled like a floating zoo. I mean, for a whole year. Imagine floating like in a zoo for like 360 days. You know, this is like what's going on in Noah's mind. He must have been like overly ecstatic, elated to finally set foot on solid ground. And when he does finally step off the ark, what does he do? Does he build a house? Does he go for a walk? Does he throw a big party? No, the Bible tells us that Noah builds an altar and made a burnt offering to God. And this tells me, and this reminds me of the importance of prioritizing thankfulness in my own life. We're looking at a biblical example of how we can apply it to our life. This is one way that we can do it. Let's prioritize thankfulness in our own life. How many times do we delay giving thanks? How many times do we give no thanks? Where is thankfulness ranked on your priority list? If I had to guess, thankfulness is not ranked like too high on most of our priority list. From the heart of a grateful person comes the practice of prioritizing thankfulness in one's life. Noah was a person with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart, and he displayed that thankfulness to God by prioritizing it. It's a simple lesson, but a valuable lesson. Be quick to be thankful. When we got married, when my wife and I got married, she My wife is really good with things like this, but we have received a number of gifts as a newlywed couple. We had a lot of gifts, family and friends. On our honeymoon, on the airplane, my wife was writing thank you cards to everybody. So by the time the honeymoon was done, we had every thank you card just ready to drop in a mailbox. Prioritize your thankfulness. You will often, honestly, you often forget to be thankful if you don't prioritize it. Be purposeful in your thankfulness. Though it may be costly and even mean putting other things on hold, as it was in the case of Noah, remember and take heart Noah's example of thankfulness. True thankfulness must be a priority in one's life. So the fourth thing that we can, and again, there's so many others, I wish I had a lot of time to share, but the fourth thing that we can learn from this biblical example about thankfulness is this: thankfulness is a way to approach God. Thankfulness is a way to approach God. And this is the last observation that we'll make from the story this morning. The believer in Christ is able to approach God through prayer. We are able to approach God through being a living sacrifice. We are able to draw close to God through faith. But perhaps all too often overlooked is the believer in Christ can also approach God through thankfulness. The believer in God can approach God through thankfulness. In the book, Thankfulness Even Hurts, I've read a number of books over the past couple of weeks about thankfulness. And there's this one book called Thankfulness Even When It Hurts. It was by the author Susan Lutz. And she writes this. She had been through a number of pains in her life. Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. And she writes this about thankfulness. She's, being thankful, it's God's way of giving us a direct line to Him. An instant and intimate connection to a powerful and loving Heavenly Father, despite all the evils that surround us. It is a way for us to leapfrog over all the things that we do not understand and cannot fix, to put ourselves into God's loving, powerful arms. In the midst of pain, or in the midst of hopelessness, or even in a season of joy, whatever season you're in, don't forget the amazing lifeline that we have to God through a thankful heart. Think about that. Have you ever heard that? Or when's the last time you heard that? In our story today, we see that Noah was able to approach God, to share with God, to have a communion to God, to communicate with God through the attitude of his heart, which was a true thankful heart, a heart full of thankfulness. So what is true thankfulness that we can see from the story? Thankfulness is an attitude of a heart, of your heart, not just words. Thankfulness is reciprocal, is giving something for something, even if they're not equal. Thankfulness should be a priority in your life. We should be known as a people who are thankful. And thankfulness is a way to approach God, you know, beyond prayer or in lieu of prayer or in addition to prayer and faith and all these ways, sacrifice, we can also approach God through thankfulness. Now, these are just some principles that we can learn from Noah's examples here in Genesis 8, but there are many more that we can learn. But for the sake of time, I want to move on to the second question that we're going to look at this morning. The second question is this: how can we have a life of thankfulness? How can we have a life of thankfulness? So let me just give you six principles here, and there are many more, but I just want to go over six. And these are a lot from my own life and some from the scriptures, but I just want to give you six principles of how you as well, and including myself, can have a life of thankfulness. So the first one is this. It's actually a scriptural, Paul specifically mentions this in scriptures, is be thankful in all circumstances. Paul tells us, and we read this earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And note here that Paul doesn't say give thanks because of all circumstances, but he says give thanks in all circumstances. And there's a huge difference there. The second one, how can we be a people of thankfulness? Overcome your excuses for being thankful. Overcome your excuses for being thankful. A lot of times we make these excuses for being a thankful people. Perhaps, and I've personally heard this before, there's too much evil in the world to be thankful to God. Like, I'm not going to be thankful to God until He fixes my problem or He gives me that. Or there's too much evil in the world to be thankful. These are excuses that we make. You need to overcome those excuses. Or perhaps you're too hurt to thank God. It's a real excuse. And I completely understand. But, you know, Paul, who wrote the scriptures, be thankful in all circumstances. I mean, he had been through many hurtful situations. But be thankful to God in all circumstances, even in your hurt and in your pain. Don't let that be an excuse to being thankful to God. Another one, and this is a sad one, you didn't know that you had to thank God or thank others. I don't know in this world how you could grow up like that. Perhaps you grew up in that one indigenous language in South America that doesn't have a word for thanks, but like it should be ingrained in us to be thankful people, to say thanks to one another when they give you a gift or when they do things for you. But some people may have that excuse. Well, I didn't know I needed to be thankful. You know, perhaps you didn't grow up. But the teachings and the way of Christ is to be a thankful people. And along those lines, another excuse that people have is they've never seen it displayed in others. Perhaps your parents or your siblings or your friends, they never thank one another. They just kind of take. Well, Christ demonstrated a life of thankfulness. He thanked God for the bread, but he also taught us to be thankful. And he gave us so many things to be thankful for. This is the way of Christ. This is a way of followers of Christ, to be thankful. And if you've never seen it displayed in others, well, maybe you should start displaying it in your own life so that you can teach your own kids or your siblings or your coworkers to be a person who is thankful. Another way to have a life of thankfulness is this, to open up your eyes to God's redemption for the world instead of doubting God's plans for your life in the world. So open up your eyes to God's redemption in the world. In this story, like Noah could have come out of that boat, you know, when he opened it up, and he could have only seen destruction. But instead, he saw the hope of what was to come because of God's redemption for the world. He could have looked at the past and seen all the destruction, but instead, he was hopeful for what God was doing in the world. He saw the redemption plan of God. And that's why he thanked God. God, I thank you for your redemption, for your salvation. So open your eyes to the redemption. And perhaps you could be weighed down with burdens and or terrible circumstances. But in the midst of that, I encourage you to open your eyes and still be thankful to God, because he's still working to this day. And he's working in your life as well. But be thankful to God for that. And then another way that we can live a life of thankfulness is this. Thank someone not yet thanked. It sets a good example, and it builds up relationship and bonds. Again, when you're thankful to someone, you're building this bond with them. It's a unique thing. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it is, you're building, it's almost like love. Like, oh, I love you, you love me, we're building this bond. But like thankfulness, oh, I thank you and you thank me. And it is a way to build a bond between people and also between you and God. And along those lines, if you don't thank someone, like if you have received a large gift or some sacrifice or some love offering or some token or something like that, and you haven't thanked people, then it can present resentment. I told you my own personal story. Of course, I've overcome that. But it could create resentment if you don't thank people, you know? And it could also create barriers to future blessings. You know, my immediate thing I said in my own mind is, well, I'm not going to give that person anything anymore because they're not thankful. So why should I do it again? You know, and of course, that's not the correct Christian attitude. And after reflecting on scriptures, you know, I changed my attitude and still try to continue loving relationship. But it could create, if you're not a thankful person, it could create barriers to future blessings. I mean, just honestly. Another way, and just two more. How you could have a life of thankfulness is this. Find something to be thankful for that reminds us that God is with us. Find something to be, thank God for his faithfulness in your life. Excuse me, thank God for his faithfulness in your life. And one of the ways to do that is just find something to be thankful to God for that he has given you. When I was in college, I was taking Spanish classes, and the Spanish teacher was telling us about a book that he had recently read. It was about the disappeared people in Argentina back in the 70s. Argentina had been taken over by a dictator, and somewhere around 30,000 people just disappeared. They're literally called the disappeared people. I don't know how to say it in Spanish. But those people, some of them survived, and they went on to write books. And this one guy, I don't have the book. I tried to find his exact name, but He wrote, and I remember the teacher, professor, telling us this story, and it's a graphic story, but it's a good reminder of finding something to be thankful for. This professor was sharing a story of this disappeared guy, and he had been kidnapped by the government, and they were storing people in cages, and the cages were like, you know, just long enough for him, not even to stretch his legs, but it's like that tall and this long, and a grown man was put in this cage. And they didn't clean the cage, so naturally, again, this is a vivid story, but it gets to the point that he was not, they didn't clean his pee or poo up, out, you know, to be nicely, so it just collected in his cage. So imagine a grown man, nobody knows where he is, been kidnapped by the government, and he's stuck in a cage, and, you know, pee and poo are just collecting in this cage. And he describes this one moment where he takes his poo, and he gathers, I know this is horrible sounding, but he gathers it and he packs it down and he lays his head on it. And to him, it was something to be grateful for, something to be thankful. He had nothing. Nobody knew where he was, but yet he had made a pillow out of poo. And he writes this in his book to say that he had a glimpse of hope, like just from a poo pillow, you know. And so find something, and he ended up surviving and writing this account of what the government did to these people. Find something in your life to be thankful for. You know, every time I ride a New Jersey subway, which is often, I think about this instance, and I really is kind of reflective, and it was almost a heavy moment. But the very first time I rode New Jersey Transit was a Saturday or Sunday, and some friends of ours had dropped us off on some station somewhere in New Jersey. And this was before we lived there, so I wasn't really familiar with New Jersey Transit. And we had waited forever. It was like a weekend, so I wasn't even sure the train's coming. So I finally like stuck my head out, like there's a wall here, the track here, and I stuck my head out to see if the train was coming. And then as soon as I did, like I put my head back and the train, and there was no distance. You know, usually you would think the train would be this far away from the tracks, but I would have died, let's put it that way. I mean, and I think about that often because I'm thankful to God, because now I'm able to see my two daughters, and they're growing up, and, you know, my wife and my families and you guys. So I'm here, and I kid you not, even just the past few weeks, I've been so grateful to God, because that was it. I almost died just like that. You know, something innocent as looking over the tracks to see if the train's coming, because, you know, it's been like 45 minutes an hour. I almost died, but I'm thankful to God for that one. I encourage you to find something in your life to be thankful to God for, whether it's, you know, almost dying, or, you know, God's providence, or a friend, or something. You can find something to be thankful for in your life. Noah was thankful that the difficult past was behind him. Find something to be thankful, God. And then finally, this is the last way. Again, there are many ways that I could share. I could go on and on. But this is one way that I would challenge you to be a thankful person. And it's this. I call it thank you challenge. I don't know if I should copyright that, or I don't know other people put this. But I call it thank you challenge. And here it is. Go a whole day just thanking God and others. Go a whole day just thanking God and others. I did this one time for a whole week. And it was very difficult, because in my prayers to God, I have a lot of requests. You know, God, can you help me with this? You know, God, asking God questions. You know, a lot of communication with God. But I went a whole week one time just thanking God. It's a challenge. But it will change your life, and it will change the way that you think about thankfulness. Sometimes we can get drowned out. Our prayers, our communication with God, our communication with others can get drowned out by doubt or hurt or fear or etc. But I challenge you to spend one whole day being thankful to God. Just let him know it. I'm not saying go build an altar or anything like that and sacrifice all the cool animals. But like I am saying, like, be thankful to God. And also find somebody in your life to be thankful for. Create a list of things that you can be thankful for. It's a challenge. But we should be known as a people of thankfulness. So let me end with this. In this world, there's too much complaining. There's too much ungratefulness in this world. There's too much unappreciation, whether that's from God or from other people. Let's make a difference to be known, to be a people known for our thankfulness. I mean, think about this. A thankful person is a breath of fresh air. Like, does anybody here know, like, an extremely thankful person? They're a breath of fresh air. If you're in the same room with them, you want to be around them. But the opposite is not, right? Like, an unthankful person, like, nobody really wants to be around a person like that. And none of us who follow Christ want to be that person. Like, we want to be the breath of fresh air. We want to be a person known for thankfulness. Let us follow in Noah's footsteps. Let us be people known for thankfulness. When was the last time that you were thankful from your heart? Is there someone out there that you need to go and thank today? Well, don't wait. Don't wait. Be fast. Be quick. Go quickly and get your gratitude and your thankfulness. Oh, let me pray. Lord, our Father, forgive us for so often being forgetful of your goodness. Forgive us of being unmindful of the many expressions of your grace and blessing in our own lives. Forgive us when we have been discontent with the providence of your hands. Teach us to have a thankful heart. Remind us to have a thankful heart. Grant in us a heart that is always abounding and overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness towards you and others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.